Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story. I am not in Chicago right now. I am in Iowa, and it's 77 here, so that's a good thing. And I think that I brought the Chicago wind because it is really windy here. But I didn't want to cancel my show, so here we are. We have a lot of guests on the show. Well, and it's going to be a good show. And I have two co-hosts today, Bennett, and I have Kathy Barton, Kathy S. Barton, because I always get it wrong on Facebook. There's a million Kathy Barton. And I told her, I said, I got to learn how to spell her name, right? Because she knows that I don't. Okay. And we have a really good show tonight. We have a lot of people on tonight, and everybody here except for Bennett, and Bennett hopefully someday will be with World Castle, and everybody's from World Castle Publishing. And a lot of the people have met each other now, which is an interesting thing because they were at Barnes & Noble in Texas, and they're going to talk about that, which is very exciting because they actually met each other, and most of us, as you know, don't know each other. And that's what makes it interesting now. Now we saw pictures of people, and it's a whole different thing. It's a group then, and we're going to hear about their trip. Okay, Marilyn is here, and Sheldon, and Eric, and J.R. Holton, and Kathy, me, and Bennett, and Jeff, I think as he spells it, Lafferty, he'll be on a separate show. I think he was tired from the trip, and he'll be on another show. I think a show with Fran Lewis tonight. So let's bring Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, everybody.
How are you? Are you tired?
Howdy.
It was very eventful, I heard, right?
Oh, we had such a good time when we were in Texas.
And wasn't it fun meeting everybody, I guess, you know, just like all the people that you didn't, you know. I know that you and Charlotte are good friends, but did you never met each other before, like, till then?
No, we've been texting and calling and Skyping one another for 3 years. This is the first time we've ever met.
So isn't that exciting? That was fun, I bet. That was really fun.
It was a blast.
Was he everything you wanted to be? But I'm going to ask him the same question later. But is it everything you wanted to be?
Hi, Bennett. Hello, Bennett.
Hi there.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Ask you. Is it everything she wanted to be? What do you think, Kathy? Yes?
You mean as a book signing? I don't know. I'd never been to one before. It was the one in Lubbock was amazing. The people took really good care of us, and the radio show host was fun, and we had so much stuff to give away. We got to talking to one another, kidding around with each other, and the client and the people that came in. We just had a really, really good time with the people there. And it was
It seems like a good idea, you know, and I think Barnes & Noble, you know, a lot of them should actually do this because it would really be nice if they did this, because I think what's missing is people aren't getting book signings a lot of times, and if they do, they're not really that hospitable sometimes at the book signings. I'm not saying Barnes & Noble, other places. So I think that if people really want bookstores to stay open, I think Bennett, you will agree with this too, that people really like to meet authors.
They love to meet authors, but the funny thing is when Borders was still in business, they had book signings weekly, and people would come up, they would talk to you. It wasn't just about the book. And that's
right.
What I think also, it gives it a personal thing, because it's like, oh, my God, this is the author. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you get to talk to them, and it's interesting.
And see, that's,
it's not just, buy my book. It's
in Deerfield, though, in Chicago, we called, and they said that a lot of times that people don't even care to do book signings. And so they didn't have very many of them. And it's a shame, because I think it's nice if they do that. I mean, you know, it isn't always about selling that many books. It's about, you know, just getting out there. And that's one of the things that, you know, most of us need to do, because we're all writing and we're on Facebook and we're on everything. But I think getting out is really good for everybody. So I think it's good that they had a good time. And I hope that maybe we can try to get some Barnes & Noble that will do that again, you know, and in other places. You know, and I think it would be really fun.
I've had a real hard time with Barnes & Noble. They don't want to let you in the door.
Really?
Well, it's not easy. Let me bring out everybody. Okay, first I'm going to bring out Marilyn, because hi Marilyn, because I know
hi.
What happened to you on one of my shows. Something happened and you never came back on. So I want you to go first. And
I remember that.
And you want to just, you know, everybody will give their website and their books, and then we'll all come out and everybody will be talking. But I just want to make sure everybody gets, you know, the names of their books out. Marilyn and Kathy will do that later, okay? And Bennett will do. But I just want to make sure that all the guys from.
I want all the other people ahead of me. I only have one book coming out in April.
Yeah. Well, you've done a lot. You have a lot of stuff. Okay, Marilyn, tell everybody your website and the books.
Yeah, my name is Marilyn Pierre Antoine. I can be reached at www.marilynpierre-antoine.com. I'm the author of the Wandering Star series, which is a young adult paranormal romance about a young woman who falls in love with the devil. Right now, that's Wandering Stars in Helena's Empire, with another book on the way.
That's great. And so you keep going. That's good. All right, Eric. You are Eric. I hope you would. Yeah, Eric has never been on one of my shows, so hopefully Eric will be able to be okay with me on the show, because you know we have a lot of people showing. Kathy's used to this. Dennis is used to this. Sheldon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Eric, tell us a little bit about your, you know, website and just a few things about yourself, because you've never been on the show before.
All right. Well, my website is www.ericrjohnston.webs.com. I live in Davidson, Michigan, and I'm, I'd say I'm an unemployed teacher. Right now I'm a substitute teaching full-time, but I'm certified to teach English and social studies for high school and middle school. But my books, the one that just came out is called The Twins of Norumway Parish. It's kind of like, it takes place in several thousand years in the future, but the world is completely run down. And it kind of deals with some kind of this brewing evil that had been defeated a few thousand years before, but it's coming back. And there's also some social issues involved with certain traditions. The two main protagonists are kind of end up in this forbidden love affair while they're trying to raise these children, these twins. So it's kind of got a lot of kind of fantasy elements plus a little bit of romantic elements in it. The sequel to that one, which is called The Book of Ragus, should be coming out within a few months. And then I've got another one, which is a science fiction book, which is about an alien invasion, which acts kind of as a satire of today's politics. That one's called Harvester Ascension. That should be out within a few months as well.
You wanted to be a writer like when you were very young, though, right? You started out.
I think I wrote my first story when I was in fourth grade. That one was about a haunted house. it's kind of simple, short one, and then it just progressed on from there. And
I should tell Bennett one of your favorite writers was Ray Bradbury. And that Bennett is here.
I love Ray Bradbury.
I know.
Yeah.
I saw it in his bio, Ray.
I remember just actually about a month ago, I was substitute teaching for an English class, and the teacher left in the notes, "Hey, read a story with the class. Pick whatever you want that's in the textbook. I found one, Ray Bradbury. We're reading this." So
they got an education.
Do you remember which one?
I don't remember the title. It's about expedition to Mars, and everybody starts turning into Martian.
Okay.
I forget what
my favorite. My favorite's from the same collection called Usher 2.
Yeah, because I saw that in there. I know that Bennett. That's your specialty. You love this. All right, so let's see. All right, Sheldon.
Yes, ma'am.
You keep coming up with a lot of new books. You keep coming up with books, one after another.
Well, I have three books right now, and if you go to my website, which is sevantownsend.com, that's Evan with an E-V-A-N, don't spell it seven or you'll be lost. sevantownsend.com is my website, and there you can find out about all three of my currently published novels. There's Hammer of Thor, which is an urban fantasy set in the first half of the 20th century, deals with the Depression.
Sheldon, I want to say this. It's an amazing book. I, as a critic, loved it, and I cannot say how wonderful it is. It's just a great book. If you haven't got Hammer of Thor, you should.
See, and that's a good thing. When Bennett tells you the book is good, Bennett means it.
He's heard it before from me.
I know, but other people might not know this. When you say it, you mean it.
Yeah, and there's Nazis and there's Norse gods and there's Valkyrie, and it's a very interesting novel. I'm amazed I wrote it. And then there's the sequel to it, Agent of Artifice.
Nobody's ever said that before.
Sometimes I read the stuff I write and I go, "Who wrote this? This is good."
Yeah.
That's what I say after I listen to a radio show that I do. He says, "Who spoke this?" And they say, and a friend of mine says, "That's you." I said, "I don't sound that way." He says, "Yes, you do."
Yeah. It is nice to think of all the things that you end up doing, right?
Yeah. Then Bennett, you need to read the sequel, Agent of Artifice.
When you send me a copy, I will do. I'll read it.
Okay. And it takes place in the during the Cuban Revolution. The efforts to depose Castro and all that, the early part of the Kennedy administration. And then I have a third book out, which is totally unrelated to the other two, called Rock Killer, which is a science fiction novel where they are mining asteroids to get resources to feed the needs of a hungry planet or an overcrowded planet. And some people are opposed to this, and they turn to violence to stop it.
You have very exciting books, I know. And you are very supportive of everybody in World Castle, and you are out there plugging everybody, which is really very nice. I don't know how you do all this because, the marketing, we won't get into that much this show, I don't think, because I want to talk to you guys rather about other things. But it's like there's so much marketing, but every day you seem to be out there doing that. So thank you for all of us, that you're out there doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Listen, you do it. We see you. I see you every day out there. All right, and we have Pierre Holton, and he was also at Barnes & Noble, and then I'm going to let Cassie talk. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Pierre Holton. You have a lot of books.
Yeah, I do have a lot of books.
Projects and a lot of things.
My website is www.grholton, Holton, H-O-L-T-O-N, .com. A lot of people spell it with an E. I've got five books out right now with World Castle. Three of the five have just been optioned for movies through Guild Entertainment. My new manager is pushing for more books. My latest book is called Dragon's Bow. It is a fantasy, which took me away from science fiction, which I've really enjoyed writing it. Hopefully it'll be out this summer. It is the story about, it's a typical good versus evil, sister versus sister. The girls are born of pure good, but their actual father was the Dark Wizard. When they turn 16, one of the girls is actually transformed to pure evil. The only way to turn her back to pure good is to destroy the Dark Wizard with the dragon's bow. And they go. It's quite the action-adventure fantasy book. And I'm just having a lot of fun with it. Again, Sheldon, thank you so much for everything you've been doing for World Castle and getting everything out. I try to get on there with it, and I don't know how you do it, man, but appreciate it very much.
I know.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's a tedious job. It really is, you know. Cassie probably has a book coming out 5 minutes after she does the show, because how many of you keep going?
I have 13 with World Castle now.
Gosh.
And I can be reached at Kathy S. Barton, author, all one word, at blogspot.com. I just finished up a 6-book series on the Waite family, and I'm starting the second and third book of A Force of Nature.
You know, these covers are beautiful. I mean, they really are. You got some really, you know, risque covers, too. Little risque covers. You know, people have said to me, they go, like, you know, like, because we have children's books and whatever, and they said, like, well, sometimes you have these covers, and I go, so what? You know, I mean, everybody knows that on my show, and we could do whatever, and, you know, I mean, I like every kind of author. I am not closed to any author. So I think that,
what's the next book you're coming out with, Kathy?
I just finished the second round of edits for the 6th book in the vampire series, Fated Absolution.
God bless you. A vampire book.
Yeah, she's done. Yeah, she's done.
At least your vampires don't sparkle. Thank you.
No.
Yeah.
I don't just write paranormal.
Yeah.
I have an entire 2 different series of just regular human contemporary romance as well.
Yeah.
So I write a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, Bennett, let's see who you are.
I'm Bennett Pomerantz, writer for Night Owl, Audio World, A Piece of Page, and To Be or What, an Affair Decor magazine. In April, I have 2 books coming out. The one I'm really, really touting and very, very happy is the 5th anniversary of Silent Angel, which is written by Melanie Ravert, but I did the forwards and afterwards. And I will be on an autism panel in the middle of April. I'll be Skyped in on this panel in Baltimore. So I'm very, very happy about that.
You're busy.
So,
your column. So thank you for putting it
on. Well, Night Owl, Audio World, Piece of the Page, To Be or What. I'm not doing anything. I'm lazy. And Amazon.
And
let's not forget my Amazon stuff.
You do
stuff.
Everything. All right. And I am Marcia Cook. I probably should say who I am. I'm Marcia Cook, MichiganAvenueMedia.com. And I'm an author, screenwriter, an agent, and a talk show host, and I have an option for one of my movies, and so, you know, I keep going on like everybody else, and that's why we have all these shows. We have different writers on, and you can see by the people that we have tonight, we have a lot of different authors, and I think that maybe, Kathy, you might want to ask some questions, and I'll just sit back and listen if I can try to do this, as we know.
I want to talk about one of the World Cup before,
what,
because this young lady's not here tonight.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
I wanted to talk about one of the World Castle authors that's not here tonight, who I loved her book.
Okay.
It's called I Am Wolf.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Fantastic book.
It is a fantastic book. I gave it 5 stars on Amazon. It is well worth reading. And if anybody hasn't gotten it yet, they should put it on Christmas lists, whatever you have to do. It's
a
very,
very
good book.
Very good.
And
good.
It's not trying to slight any of the other authors here, but Joanne ain't here, so I figured somebody should say something nice about her.
Yes. We always talk about her. I always say nice things about Joanne. She's so much fun. She's doing her show. I don't know if she started. Did she do a show today?
She didn't do a show today, next 2 weeks from now, I'll be on her show again.
Okay, and Jack Remick is on that show, and I don't know if anybody's have you been on, Jer, when Jack Remick has been on talking about screenplays and things like that? He's really, really good. He's going to come on. I think I'm going to do a screenwriting show soon, and I think he's going to come on, you know, and talk about screenwriting. He's really very interesting. And Joanne has a lot, you know, when I think Bennett, you know, when he comes in, and Bennett and I have been on a show with Jack, and he comes up with, on Joanne's show, they do, like, sometimes they do exercises, you know, just to make you think, and he's very, very good. And so I think Joanne is doing a couple shows a week now. I mean, I think, I don't know if she's going to do 5. It's a lot.
She's cut back to a couple shows a week, but she's doing good. She's better than she has been,
Kathy,
and she's doing well. She was sick.
Yeah.
Kathy, okay, all right. Kathy, do you want to ask questions? You can, because you're the co-host, too, so I'll just listen to you. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if Sheldon can tell me where he got the idea from his second book.
For Agent of Artifice?
Yeah, isn't it the one with the space needle on the top front?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I sat with right next to you a couple of times. I didn't want to say the wrong title name. I love the concept of the cover of the book.
Yes, the climax of that novel takes place in Seattle at the Space Needle, and I don't understand my creative process. I write and these ideas come into my head and I just go with them. And I had the idea, let's have the climax at the Space Needle, and I live about a 3-hour drive from Seattle. So I drove over to Seattle and I scoped out the Space Needle and to make sure I got all my facts right about how it's built and how it looks and how it looked in 1963. And then I wrote the scene and it came out just amazing, if I say so myself.
But yeah, what did you do? What did you do for your profession in your regular life before that? Because you have a very good training. I mean, that's why some of your books are the way they are. Tell everybody what you did.
Oh, I've done everything. I've been a journalist. I've been a radio disc jockey. I was in the military for 4 years, and I owned my own, well, it wasn't my own business. I co-owned a business about 20 years.
In the military, you learned, and in the military, that helped you, I'm sure, with some of your plots here, you know, what you do, because it's not just everybody's, right, you know, not everybody can write like that.
Yeah, well, you're right, because like in Hammer of Thor with the French underground traveling through the French countryside, you know, their tactics and stuff were things I learned in the military.
Right, yeah.
But,
your research is amazing. I don't know how much fact-checking you do, but I did, some of your things I did read, some fact-checking, you know, on your stuff. It is that good. I was amazed with Thor, and I will say that. I'm sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you in front of this, Sheldon, but Thor was amazing. It is one of these kind of books that, it's like Indiana Jones. It's factual, but it's an enjoyable trip. It's something that if you really want a book to just enjoy for pleasure, it is one of those books that are well worth reading and enjoying and savoring.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people don't talk about the background.
You did send me the check, didn't you, Sheldon?
No, I'm sorry, I forgot to do that. I'll get right on that.
No, I think the background sometimes does help, you know, and sometimes we don't realize what some of the author's backgrounds are because it comes from somewhere. I mean, we don't know exactly sometimes when we sit down and write where things come from, but, you know, when you're doing books like that, I think that happens, you know, that it's got to come through, and that's why, you know, certain writers write one way or, you know, and other writers write another way.
I will say one thing. I just made a joke to Sheldon, and I get emails all the time after they listen to shows and all. So I want them to know I was kidding with him. He doesn't pay me, I promise.
And I never would.
I know, but I get emails. The Night Owl column for next month about the emails I get from people. So
yeah.
I want to make sure they know straight and straightforward I wasn't paid for that.
I know. You don't get money for this. And sometimes you, as you say, that sometimes you do not say the nicest of things, but that's your being honest. So that's the way it is.
Thank you, darling.
Well, you
are making my head swell.
It's all right. You can pay me later for it.
All right, so Marlon, where are you staying? Where are you going to be? Are you in Florida, or are you coming back to Iowa, or you're just staying in Florida? Or where are you going to be when you're writing? Where are you writing from now? Is Marlon still on?
Marlon, are you with us?
Again? Oh, my God. Did I lose him again? I can't believe it. Marlon? Oh, I don't know what happened. I lost him on one show, and now I got lost again on this show.
Oh, no.
All right. Okay, Kathy, do you remember when I lost him on that show? I think you were on that show, too. I lost him on that one show we had and from World Castle, so I don't see that he's hearing. Oh, my God. All right. Okay. All right, Kathy, just anything else? Yeah, you probably, because you met everybody. You met, a few of the people, you know. And so how did this all go for everybody? I mean,
was this your first book signing, like at Barnes & Noble?
It was my first ever.
Yeah.
I had never been to one before. I mean, I haven't really been a published author, but just a little less than a year.
And look how many books you have in that year.
I have 13.
How many more do you have coming out in the next few months?
She's been publishing about 2 a month of mine, so in the next few months you can expect probably 4 or 5 more, I guess. I have a great many of them finished.
It's unbelievable. That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of things going on.
I have the entire vampire series is finished, and there are 11 of those. There are 6 of them of the Waite brothers, Waite family, and I've got, I don't know, maybe 50 books finished in various stages of finish.
I can't believe it. It's so many. I honestly, it's unbelievable. Of course, if I would actually concentrate, yeah, you have to really concentrate to get the books out. That's what I'm doing. I really am not having a lot of shows in April. I hope not, because I really am trying not to, but every few days something else comes up and I go, oh, I think I want to have a show about that, but I'm going to try.
Well, it is Autism Month, Marcia. We can arrange a show for autism. I have 2 lovely guests that would love to do a show for autism if you feel you would like that.
I'm in. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about it. Yep, I'm in. Yep. But we're doing, you know, the kids, I don't know if everybody heard, we had for Kids Are Courageous, you know, it's, they're making books for children with, it's actually, the Kids Are Courageous, there's a book out now, and it's, I think it's $12.95, you can get it on Creative Space. It's actually on my website also, and the money is going to Kids for Cancer and various other severe illnesses, and, people are writing books for the family, you know, to help the siblings be able to deal with everything. So, because it's a very hard thing to deal with when somebody in the family is sick. So we've been doing that. And, you know, and I don't, they were talking about they may do some books for kids that have autism because people were calling them and saying, are my kids eligible? And they felt so bad because they don't want to take everything away, you know, they don't want to say no to anybody. So, yes, we could have a show like that, too, because Willow Cross, we also send things to the hospitals and Indiana Riley's Hospital now because we did the Arkansas Little Hospital, you know, the Children's Hospital, and that we sent so many books, they said we can stop for a while. So, I mean, these are the good things about these shows, though, that I feel, for me, I like to do. So, yes, we can do a show about that. Yes, we can, because you know, there's a lot of children diagnosed with autism all the time, you know.
Let me ask you, Kathy, and I'm going to ask the other guests the same question. How do you find, you've written 50 books, how do you find the time, the balance between work and family or work and whatever? Do you work 2 hours a day or what's your schedule for it?
Actually, lately I've been averaging about 65 hours a week at my job, and my husband and I, our children are all grown. We have 3 grown children that are all married, and we have 7 grandchildren. But as for balancing out, I just write when I feel like it.
Yeah.
I don't write just one book at a time. I usually write 4 or 5 at the same time.
Yeah. And I think
What does your husband think of your success with books, the books you have?
My entire family is extremely supportive and very proud of me. It's amazing how proud they are of me.
That's great. It's always nice to hear because, you know, you never know. You know, but in 1 year, look where you've come. I mean, really, this is incredible. I mean, everybody here actually in 1 year, you know, I mean, you know, Marilyn's not here right now, but all the people that, you know, that Kathy has been, that Karen has been taking on, I mean, they're continuing to write, which is really very good, you know. And they're coming up with new books, and she's got a lot of authors now. I don't know how many, but there's a lot.
She has a lot of different genres, too. I mean, she doesn't just stick with any one particular kind.
Yeah.
I'm going to count the books here while I talk. She has an amazing amount of talent with her right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, she does. I mean, there's a lot, and, you know, it's a lot, you know, to pick the right people, it's not that easy, you know, and there are a lot of authors now. I don't know if you, how many shelters, do anybody know how many? There's a lot.
That's World Castle Books?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, she's got a lot.
There's 69.
Was that Eric?
Yes.
So, Eric, how do you keep the balance?
Well, first, I just kind of make sure I write every day. So even if I don't get a chance to write a lot, it'll all add up. But secondly, because my main job is substitute teaching, and if my class is behaving, which is most of the time, I can just kind of sit and take notes, write just by hand. And that's actually what I've been doing a lot is I just have a notebook, write out, you know, a few things, come home, type it up, so I don't really have to sit at the computer thinking, okay, I can't think of what to write next. So that kind of saves me a little time. Also, that's also how I kind of outline things, flesh out some backstories, flesh out some characters, so that I don't end up in the situation where I have writer's block or I write myself into a corner because I try to have it all planned out beforehand before I even really get too much into it.
Yeah, I know Kathy writes. I know Kathy does write. Kathy, you don't write an outline either. I know that. You just write. You just sit down and write.
I tried writing with an outline and notes. I mean, I do make notes only so that when I'm writing a series, I can remember, like, names and spouses and children's names.
Yeah, right.
But
right,
I don't have an outline. Yeah, I don't have an outline. I don't even take notes. It's all
I don't know, Gia might not either, because Gia, I think I still heard you on Ashley's show. You don't have an outline either, right?
No, I'm a complete pantser. I write by the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
I like
it's
that.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Okay, how is it to write by the seat of your pants? I usually type with my fingers, though.
Well, it's kind of...
It's bad, but it was all I had, okay?
I think most of the writers that have been on the show do not write with outlines. And all of these years, you know, I don't either. But there are so many people that I know that write with outlines, and most of the people that I had on my show, they really don't, which is very, you know, interesting to find out that there's a lot of people that don't. You know, they just sit down and do it.
Well, I will say that as far as my outlines go, half the time I throw it all out anyway and then just, you know, do a GR does.
Right by
the seat of my pants half the time.
Well, you
that
have to
is,
like it. You know, look at when we all read back, you know, I think for me one of the things that I found out was very good for me was to read it out loud. And then you see so many more things that might be wrong with it or don't sound right. You know, how does everybody do that? I read out loud a lot of times now that I never used to do before. But with my children's books, I started reading my children's books to kids. And when I did that, I realized I could find things and listen when I actually read it out loud rather than just reading it from the paper to myself.
You know, for my Harvester Ascension book, which will be coming out shortly, there's an entire subplot that I hadn't originally planned in it, and I just had somebody read it, the book, over. And as she was getting, like, 20 pages into it, she says, oh, you know, I can't wait to see what you do at that point. You know, it was the character always having headaches, and it was just a character trait. It really had nothing to do with anything.
Well,
and then I
think,
you know what? Actually, you know, I started thinking, you know, this could actually tie into the plot, and it became an entire subplot. And, well, if you ever read it, you'll see that it's actually a major part of the story now. So.
Same thing happened to me with Hammer of Thor. A subplot turned into a major plot part.
Right.
And they all melted at the end, came together at the end.
Yeah. See, that's the reason readers of, you know, that's what the problem is for publishers, I think, is a lot of times, and reviewers, they don't read the whole book. And it's like with a script, too, with a manuscript when you're sending it for a screenplay. I mean, it has a beginning, middle, and end. And if you don't finish the story, you know, and if you don't really know what the writer intended all the time, and sometimes, you know, it takes you all the way till the end to all of a sudden say, oh, great, everything went together and it sounded great. But, you know, a lot of times they don't get that far, and that's why they don't accept people. Sometimes they go, oh, you know, in 5 minutes they want everything to work out, but it doesn't. Because as the writer develops it, it gets a better story a lot of times.
Exactly.
You know? And I think that the people that do the review, you know, not reviews, but actually read, you know, for publishing houses, this is why some people are rejected. I mean, this is why most people, I think, are rejected. They don't finish, you know, what really could be a good book. And maybe they could go back and tell them what maybe shouldn't be in there, but the book in general was a good story. I just wish they would do that, but they don't. It's not going to happen. There, you know, there's so many people sending stuff to them. I guess if they're not interested right off the bat, some of them just reject. You know, that's how I think that's what happens. I know that's what happens because I know the people that I sent years ago. I don't really take too many books on right now because I know that there's nothing I can do for them right now. The market is overflowing with books. And I think the publishers, that's kind of, you know, we've talked about it many times on the show, it's kind of like an iffy market right now. So I think it should go one way or the other, but there's so many more outlets now with the small publishers. You know, because, Kathy, didn't you publish something yourself? Didn't you do a couple before you went to Karen, though?
No, I had gone to a publisher that
I didn't
have a very good experience with.
And they weren't, and it didn't work out the way it does now. For you, because you actually sell a lot of books, though, right? You do sell a lot of books.
Yeah, I do well.
And you do e-books more? Would you do do you sell more e-books or paperback?
E-books, definitely more e-books.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I'm sorry. I'm still a hardcover baby.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I know my, you know, even my sale book, which I don't talk about, which I will be talking about more because I've changed, you know, I'm changing the cover of it, not the book. The book is going to stay the same, but the cover is, and it's going to go more for a young adult market. And because I changed the cover, it'll be out probably another week or so in an ebook. But that sells. I mean, you know, I think that the market. The children's market doesn't sell very as well as it could on e-books. And I think it will. But I think the adult, you know, drama, whatever, contemporary, I think those are doing well. I think, you know, so when people were at Barnes & Noble, this is what I wanted to ask. Were they telling you they were going to get the e-book or were they actually buying the physical copies of it?
I'm selling more e-books.
E-books.
Yeah.
You mean customers or the store manager?
Well, the customers, were they telling you that they got, you know, they download or do they like regular, they may probably be people that like, you know, regular books because if they're in a bookstore, it's possible, even though they download at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, at the signing aisle, I had one guy who came up and said, I'm exclusively e-books, so I gave him my card and that goes to my website and says, go to my website and there's links there where you can buy the e-books.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's basically what I think everybody's going to more of the e-book format because you can, they're more mobile.
Yeah. I do think that's happening a lot, you know. Who is going on the free Kindle e-books again? Sheldon, are you on it or Eric?
I'm on the if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you can read both Hammer of Thor and Agent of Artifice for free. Agent of Artifice is going to go away pretty quick, though, I think at the end of the month.
Yeah, what about Eric? Did you do that program too, the Kindle?
Yep.
I did
For the Twins of Norway,
I never got, this is GR, I never really got any numbers or anything that made it any better.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm one of the ones that actually pulled out of the program.
Yeah. I said yes, but I think I should have said no. So I just, I don't know if she got that email or not. I, you know, at first I said yes, then I said no. And then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, if it's going to go for it again. I, you know, I said okay. But then I thought about it, and I know, like, my Sailor book, which is not with World Castle, that sells, you know, for $5.99. I've never, and she told me don't do it because they're buying it. So I don't. I don't put it down. But, you know, I don't know what, you know, the love changes may again be, you know, if she put it on. But I, you know, and I think the numbers weren't out for anybody yet what happened. But I do think the only thing about it is it goes to the international market, and I think that's where people are finding out about the newer authors. For international, I think. I don't know. Yeah, we'll all have to see how this works out. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, for some people it does well. And, you know, I do think it would be nice if some of the bookstores, beside Barnes & Noble, would start having, you know, book signings. I've called a lot in Chicago, and I really, you know, and I know that I can get people there. Because I know a lot of people. I do know a lot of people, and I could get people in the area to go. But they don't want to take chances, and I don't. I really don't understand that. You know, they're very small bookstores, and I think it could help everybody. So I don't get it. What about Ben? I don't know about your area. Do they have book signings a lot where you are?
They did when Borders was really in. Barnes & Noble, I've done a couple myself with some of the books I've been in, like Loving Hearts and other things, but. They've really curtailed them because a lot of the authors, unless you're in D.C. directly, they don't want to go out to Bowie, which is a beautiful suburb. And if you've never been to Maryland, you should go to Bowie. They've got a beautiful Barnes & Noble there. It's a two-floor Barnes & Noble. It is beautiful and it's nice. Or they want to go to Rockville, either D.C. or Rockville, because you get the Bethesda with the Rockville one. And that's where most of the business is these days. If you don't do Rockville, it's
The thing that I keep getting is that even though we are set up with the books being returnable, they also look like POD books.
I know that. And it's not right because it's not the truth.
That's keeping me out of the Barnes & Nobles in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I've tried... 4 different Barnes & Nobles, all of them in the big cities and stuff, and just have had no luck whatsoever. I'm going to try to get my new manager on it and see if she can get me in there. But I've had no luck. I talked to
Barnes & Noble. I had a conversation with one of the bigger stores in the Chicagoland area, and I called them and I talked to them, and she said she loves to plan events, but they don't really love the events. And I don't get it, you know. And I said I would also come and see because I did it once before. I just don't see why they're not doing that, and especially when you get returnability. So I was really waiting to see what happened with World Castle. You know, I wanted to see what really happened. And if Amarillo wasn't, but it was the other smaller town you were in that did that, that should be maybe an example, and maybe some of us can use that as, why don't you just try something? And there's a lot of people that might want to travel around. You know, I've talked to PR people, and I told them if they want to have a signing in Chicago, I would be happy to go with them, because if you're not from the area, it's not that easy to get people there.
No.
Unless you're Betty White or somebody like that. And I think that they're wrong. They are missing the boat. They really are. And I don't know
exactly.
How to, you know, and... You know, and in my case, you know, with the children's, it could have been a lot of different ones. So I said to them, you know, and then when I got off the phone, she said, well, you know what, I think that maybe you might fit in somewhere. I'm thinking somewhere. I mean, there's several fields. I fit in a memoir, I fit in a drama, I fit in children's, you know, and it's 5 minutes from my house.
But the problem also is with a lot of the signings, they used to put the authors close to the door. Nowadays... they stick you all the way in the back of the room, all the way in the corner almost, you know, away from most of the traffic. Because
yeah,
they're nooked
in
Barnes
& Noble. Yeah. I think they
have they have their nook display, and if you're in the way of their nook display, they don't want you. And they don't want you sitting at the tables where the nook stuff is. They want you in the back of the store which is not really conducive unless you want, unless they have a great CD section.
Yeah.
They usually stick you in such a corner that it's like going behind the post and behind the plant. They can't even see
right.
you.
Right, exactly.
Well, we didn't have that at the Barnes & Noble in Lubbock. We were right out front. I mean,
yeah,
like,
that was nice.
Well, Lubbock
was
is one of the best Barnes & Nobles in the country. I know that.
Yeah, it was
what
awesome.
About Amarillo?
We were right out there in the front.
What about Amarillo?
No, in Amarillo, we were in the back.
Yeah. So it's store to store. It depends on the store itself.
Yeah.
It also depends also on how the manager is respecting the author. A lot of the managers, it's like they're a chore because the author is, you know, yes, the author is what makes the book. But the thing is, the manager, you know, throws it out and says, oh, yeah, well, I'll just put you in the back because you're not, you're in the way of my sales.
Yeah.
But if you have a manager that wants to, that thinks that the author is more important, they will usually get a highlight, a spotlight where you can put them and make it user friendly, where the readership can come up. I know there's one place here that has it right next to the Nook table, and when they have author signing, so that way they can say, oh yeah, buy it on the Nook too, and they sell more books because it's on the Nook. The only problem what happens is you can't autograph a Nook copy.
All right.
Yeah, see, I think that well, you can now. There's a signature that they, you know, you can do. You know, they've had so many different new ways to do things now. But, you know, I was at Walden Books years ago, and they were so nice to me, out of business naturally, but they were so nice to me. You know, they put me right in the front. It was in a mall. And, you know, I didn't even have a lot of books. I only had 12 because it was a print-on-demand. I didn't really know that much about it in those days. And they said, oh, no, it's fine. They bought them all of the 12. And they said, you know, just keep coming back, you know, because people will start to know you. However, they went out of business, you know. And that's true, though. If you are in an area when you keep going back there, they will get to know the author if they give them a chance. But I don't think they're doing that now. And so,
The age of the small bookstore or the, you know, the Nook bookstore is gone. Unless it's a comic book shop or a specialty bookshop, and those things are or mom and pop bookshop,
right,
you know,
yeah.
The big ones don't care. It's like if you're not Stephen King or Tom Clancy or Dean Koontz or somebody with a Goldie Hawn even, you're nobody and they don't want you because, you know, a Goldie Hawn will...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, but like Kathy, you just give people your card all the time, though.
Everywhere.
See, that I do not.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, I do not do this, and I need to do this because I always feel like I'm imposing on people, which is really wrong. Because people that know me, I've mentioned before in restaurants, they didn't even know I wrote. But Kathy, you're everywhere you are, you do that, right?
Correct. I never just give one business card to a person. I give them several and tell them pass them on to your friends.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, do you do that? Eric, is that Sheldon? You do that?
I carry my books with me, and I have cards with me. And if I was in Starbucks Monday, and these two guys were discussing Harry Potter, and I walked over with Hammer and Thor and said, "This is better than Harry Potter."
Yeah, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I really do.
You don't have a book as good like Thor, Marsha. I love you, but you don't have a book as good as Thor. And then he's right. It is better than Harry Potter. That was a 20, right? What, Sheldon?
But the people I would be going to might want to read what I was going to give to them, children's books, you know, things like that. No, I don't have that book, but it doesn't matter. You still got to be able to do this.
Well, I love your busy bus, but the thing is, there's no children. There used to be a lot of children's bookstores and a lot of children's PlayStations, and they've closed all those things down because of the economy. I mean, I would love to see your book, The Busy Bus, in a children's bookstore, but those things are like a cornerstone of
the
past.
But when I go to the schools, the kids buy them. They love them, but I have to go to the school. That's the thing. And some of the schools... don't want to take you because they have Scholastic. That's a whole other issue. You know, I mean, it's very tough for authors. That's why on my shows I try to say everybody what they can do because it is very difficult to do this these days, you know. it's not easy, especially in the children's market. There's so many children's writers that are not selling a lot. You know, I mean, the other day I was on a show. I don't know, Bennett, I sent you the link too. I was on, JD has a new show for children's books. She's having the author read them for just, it's 15 minutes. The show is very short. But I read it on the show, you know, and it was kind of fun, you know, and I don't, you know, and she's going to keep doing that, and she's going to do it with two authors, I think, because they want to fill up a little more time. But so if there's any children's authors, let me know, and you could, you know, contact J.D. Holliday.
I wish she would do some, I wish she'd do some adult authors giving a read of some of their books or some of their stories. I would love to hear some of adult authors. I would, you know, I did an excerpt from Loving Arts on a show, and somebody, I got this email of this gentleman that is like, wow, that was powerful, man. And I'm like, sure, no problem. What amazes me is authors forget to read these days.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I should tell you that April Robin, when I started with Red River, that is what I did. The first show, I had to read, like, several minutes of my Love Changes, and I was a wreck. I mean, I'd never done a show. I've never done anything. I started editing my book while I'm reading it on the air because I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't say this, shouldn't say that. And, you know, you have to be careful what you say. And, you know, I was a wreck. And then after that, but I think you might be right. I don't know. But, see, a lot of the authors, Kathy, like in your book, are there things that we can talk about on the air? Like, can we read?
I'm here. Are you?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely would not read some of the excerpts from my book.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, what about Sheldon? Sheldon could do that, and Eric, you can do that probably, and maybe I will have a show like that where people can read just a little. I only read, I think it was 5 minutes I had. But you're right, it does, you know, I think that sometimes that really does help because most of the time, like on my shows, I try to give people different ideas and talk about different authors, and we really don't go into the characters as much as some other shows like Fran Lewis does, you know, but my show is my show, hers is hers, but I think it might not be a bad idea to do sometimes.
What
like
I enjoy
that.
About your show is the art of conversation, whereas, and I'm not downing Fran, I love Fran, but the thing is her questions are very solid and to the point. And I you know, and she, her authors, she gets some of the bigger names, but,
yeah.
It, you know, it's set almost. And what I like is we could talk about almost anything on your show, Marcia,
right.
And I respect
yeah, right.
that.
Yeah. But a lot of the authors that are best-selling authors, they come with questions. And I myself do not like when people have, like they'll say, could you write me 8 questions that you'd like me to talk about? You know, that's not me. But, you know, and I think that most of the people that come on know that, and they come on again and again because we just kind of talk and whatever. And I know that I've learned from every single show that I've had. And I've had, like, over 150 now, and there's not one show that I've not come away with, like, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, you know. And so I think that's what I do. But I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to sometimes do that. I don't know, Jack, did you do that at all? Did you do any readings on shows?
It's GR. I've done readings on a couple of shows.
Yeah. So how many minutes were you on it?
I did probably about a 2.5-3 minute reading.
Yeah.
So a couple of pages almost.
Sheldon, have you
but
done
I,
that?
But I've done readings live.
Yeah.
So.
Well, go ahead. So you have done them. All right. Sheldon,
yeah, I've done
you?
Readings. I did a 6 minute reading from Hammer of Thor once.
You did. Well, Eric, have you ever done that?
Not yet.
Yeah, I know. That might be. It might not be a bad idea to every now and then do that because I thought of that. You know, I have thought of that because I know I did it. You know, but because sometimes, you know, it depends on the book, you know, and I don't know what words we can use on the air. I'm not sure about blog talk, what we can allow, you know, I don't know about that. I think, well, people have said things and they haven't cut it, so I don't know. Maybe it's okay. We had a couple authors on a few weeks ago. They were going wild, and they were just saying everything.
Yeah, oh, I remember the show. I was there.
Yes. Right. And I went like, okay, you know, because we don't edit. I don't edit the show. It just goes as it goes right back out. The same.
Well, I know I got letters on it, and people loved it. They were saying, God, who put the fire under you guys that night?
Yeah. All right.
So, I was like, sheesh.
I know. You never know, you know, what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad idea to do that, you know, every now and then to have some, you know, people, you know, maybe reading some of their, you know, work. Because sometimes it does sound pretty good.
I got to step away for a moment. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm not going anywhere. What time is it? Almost. Kathy, any questions you want to ask or anything you want to talk about from the book signing that people might want to hear? Because I know I kept writing, everybody, well, what's going on? And I wanted to know. Nobody was answering me. And then I saw all the pictures, you know, and that was great that she took the pictures, all of you. And Sheldon, all of you took pictures. That was great.
So Jillian's sister actually took the pictures. Chantel, she was amazing. I have to say that. I give her a really good shout-out. She did everything we asked of her, and she took all those pictures with Charlotte Blackwell's camera.
Yeah.
And
great.
She did an amazing job getting everybody signing a book and all the pictures. She did a really good job.
Yeah.
And it was very nice of her, too.
It was good to see that, because I kept thinking, I said to her, I called up Fran, and I said, well, did you hear anything? I'm not hearing. I wanted to know what went on, you know, with the book signing. And finally, when everybody, you know, got back, I saw everything. And Sheldon, though, you had one out the first, I think the second day. I think you had it out on Sunday morning. I think it was your picture where you saw everything.
No.
On your site. It was on your site. You know, on your blog. I mean, on your Facebook page, I think. But I kept looking at everybody's. I'm thinking, like, I want to know what happened. I wanted to know. You know, but it was successful at once. So this is a good thing, too. Maybe it could be a model for, you know, some of us to go out again in other places. Because I know what you're saying, because I have been I was at one that I should have never been at. They didn't even have children's books, and they had me with my busy bus, and there were no kids at all. They don't even have children's books in that Barnes & Noble. So God knows why I was there. I have no idea, you know, and... But that book has returnability, and so that's why I got there. But it was ridiculous because it was DePaul. It was a college library, and I didn't think about it much until afterwards, realizing my book isn't there. And they said, oh, no, we don't have. I said, well, do you want to keep them? It's okay. They go, oh, no, we don't have children come here. I'm like, well, what am I doing here? You know, and, you know, that's why I think it really needs to be organized with a lot of people like you guys did it. I think that's a better way to do it. I mean, I did it with 6 people speaking. We all just talked years ago. And we were all self-published in those years. And there were people there, but they put us on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, which is not really a good time. You know, but we went. I didn't, you know, whenever I can go to them, I go, but I don't really ever, I know they're never going to be great for my career because they're never the right time or place or where it's going to be, but I don't want, they do advertise and I don't want to not show up. So I go, and it's ridiculous. So I'm glad that yours went well, so that could be a model maybe for others. You know,
but the problem with some of the models with some of the Barnes & Nobles is, as I said, it's manager-based. A manager in one place will say it's wonderful and will tell that to corporate. And a manager in another place will say it's poor because they stuck them all the way in the back and counter-equalizes itself. And they're like, well, we don't want to do book appearances anymore because this, that, or the other. And it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they get cross verbalization, if you know what I'm saying. You know, one manager says it works, one manager says I hate it, and then you get some of the. And I'm not saying any of the ladies and gentlemen on the panel tonight are snooty, but you get a snooty author that thinks, "Oh yes, where's my water? Where's my this?" And goodbye, you know.
I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope, you know.
GR's
I think. Oh, you're back? Okay, hi.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It seems like everybody's really. Let me just say one thing before we say maybe goodbye soon. I wanted to say that Virginia has a show tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's with Keisha and. Let's see who on this show. They do the Family Matters, and it's a very good show because it's about different functions that, you know, the kids and the teenagers, and this is, you know, the highly effective team, you know, and Irene Ross and Virginia and Keisha are on that show. So it's 6 o'clock. I don't know why she was sick, but maybe that's why, because she may not be talking this much. She got sick again, Virginia. So 6 Eastern. 5 Central, and that's for tomorrow. And so, all right, so Kathy, is there anything else anybody wants to talk about, or do you want to just maybe say your, you know, websites one more time and what you might be doing next? And
currently writing the second and third book of the Force of Nature book. It's a family of werewolves, and my blog is Kathy F. Barton Author .blogspot.com. It's all one word. And I love what I do.
Yes, you do. And you know, it's interesting though, because you have to put the S in, or you're going to come up with other people. If you are like me and spell her name with a Y when it's an I, it doesn't work out. But I got it now. So now I know how to spell with an I.
You're
but
fine.
There are a lot of Kathy Bartons on there.
That's why I had to put the initial in there, because I had something to start.
I know. Right, before, when I first met her, I'm thinking like, okay, which one might be her? Okay. And none of them were. So then the S, okay. Well, now, yeah, so you know that. So that's why you did it, because of that.
Right, because people couldn't find me.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And people have to find you. That's the whole thing. You know, and, you know, yeah. And that's, you know, and now I realize that. But but I'm learning how to spell right now. Editing is not my thing. I've mentioned that many times. And, Eric, I spelled your name wrong, too, but I'm going to get it right because I took off the E. Got that right.
Yeah.
And, because you know what happens? I do, on Blog Talk Radio, when you put things on at night, it doesn't come up right away sometimes. And I even took Jeff's name off, and sometimes it's off and sometimes it's on. When we put our shows in, and then all of a sudden it does what it wants, you know, and you can't put, sometimes if you put, you know, like a dash or something, you can't do certain things. And sometimes late at night when I do these, it doesn't take it. And then by the morning I wake up, I go, what happened here? And so, but because it's very slow. What it is, it really loads very slow. And that's one of the problems. I know I probably should say this. Sometimes when people are trying to listen to the show, they get frustrated and they just keep clicking like me, and they can't get the show because it takes a very long time, to, no matter how fast your computer is, to load Blog Talk. I don't know why sometimes, but it does, especially late at night. So, and I click a lot, and that's why I end up sometimes just calling the show and listening and driving people crazy, because I know that Ashley, when she started doing the show, she thought I was, like, calling in. I'm going, no. I think that you were on that show. I said, no, I'm just listening, because I couldn't get it. And I got so angry, and I just called in. And you can call into our show anytime, and not, if you don't press 1, you're just going to stay there.
And well, Ashley sometimes says there's a call and takes it, and I love that she does it, but it's usually, I also co-host the Ashley Fontaine Show, and you guys should listen this day and enjoy yourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, shameless plug.
Yeah, she had a show like at 11:30 at night one time. I think it was 12:30. You remember that show? And I called in, and I didn't they won't pay attention to me. I'll just be there. It's like 12 at night, and they go, hello. Well, no, it's just me. I'm just listening. But she does sometimes a late show on Friday. That's fun. That's a good show.
It's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Come listen, enjoy, and come spend time with us. We love you.
Yeah, because she having a show this week?
Yep, she sure is.
Okay. All right, that's good.
I will be there this Friday. It'll be lovely, and it'll be fun. And, we're going to be talking about a lot of things this Friday, about things coming up. And in about 2 weeks, we'll be having the lovely Melanie Ravert and myself talking about Silent Angel, which I'm very, very happy about.
Well,
sorry,
great.
It's not a World Castle publication, but it's an MJR publication.
Well, that's okay, because you know what? Actually, Melanie Ravert, I think she actually published with Fidelity, too, because I knew her name. I think she did a few with Fidelity.
She's also with Christian
ago.
Authors on Tour and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Yes, she's.
Yeah,
she
does a lot. Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah, I do, too. I know.
I think it's good, you know, that everybody, and I think, you know, I hope Eric will come on our shows again, because I don't, you know what somebody said when we were on the show, Ben and I were on the show, they thought we all lived in the same area because we all, like, knew each other. Candy finally came back, which was great that she came back on the show. And we were talking, we had Joe Perona, and he thought we all lived together and were, like, talking to each other all the time. He said, you all sound like your friends. I know we are already. You know, and although the barrier has been broke now with World Castle, because they have actually met each other, which is a good thing, you know, and that it really connects. So I think, you know, and I've said it before, I've met so many people from these shows, you know, and I met you, Bennett. You came out to tell me all the things I do wrong. You were right. You were right. You know, I don't talk about who I am, so I try to do
excuse
that.
Excuse me, you're tarnishing my halo.
Supported
by my horns, but tarnishing my halo.
I know. All right, Eric, what's next for you in your website?
What I'm working on now, I'm working on the sequel to Harvester Ascension. That one's called Harvester Evolution. And then I'm also working on another science fiction book called Temporal Winter, which is kind of plays with the concept of time itself in a very unique way. That one I'm excited about.
That's good. And you said you mentioned you have a little baby? Your baby?
Yeah, little baby, yep.
So you're up at night then? You're up at night. That could
well,
be.
You know what? You know, she actually sleeps throughout all the night. You know, she goes
really?
To bed maybe around 9 and doesn't wake up till 5. I don't know how I got that lucky, but
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That is good. All right, Sheldon. What about you? What's next for you? You keep going on. So what's next?
I'm working on a sequel to Agent of Artifice. It's currently titled Book of Death, and it's set in 1968.
Do you watch Mad Men at all? Do you watch it?
No, I don't watch that.
You probably
I
should. You probably would like that.
I'll check it out. I don't have time to watch television. I'm too busy writing.
You know what I do, though? But I keep the TV in back of me. You know, it's like behind me, and I'm writing, but I have to have noise, you know. I need to hear something behind me. I can't, as you know, I like to talk, so I just can't sit there and not hear, you know. I don't even really watch what's on sometimes, but I just hear it. You know, and even in my own house, my husband comes in, he'll come in. Every room I'm in, I have a TV, and if something's on a different station, you know, and I just like to hear other things going. I don't like silence, as we could probably figure that. Okay, did everybody say, oh, G.R., you didn't say what you're doing.
Yeah, well, of course, right now I'm working on 2 screenplays, translating 2 of the books. My next book, I'm going to go back a little bit to a thriller science fiction called Seedlings. It's about the rich being able to buy children's body parts and have them harvested for when they need them. The tides change with a Bruce Willis type individual comes in and tries to shut the corporation down.
Wow. So you got your, that's a pretty intense subject. That's
oh,
yeah.
Intense.
Yeah. All right. And let's see. Okay, Bennett, we heard what you're going to do, and you're also going to be doing a conference, so that's a good thing. So you'll be busy.
Oh, I like being busy, but I also like coming here. This is
yeah,
like home.
I know. I know, this is home. Actually, I'm not at home. Actually, it's so weird. But I said, you know, I'm not canceling the show because I know I cancel it. And I never cancel shows. I had to cancel one. I said, I'm not canceling the show. I'm doing it from here. So, you know, which is fine because it worked out really good. And
I have a very safe trip back to Chicago, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow. I'm going back tomorrow. You know, you don't have to be anywhere, you know, because at my office, you know, I have, you know, you have the email, you have every, I mean, it's, you don't have to, you could be anywhere now, you know, and kind of do your work, you know. And, Kathy, so
yeah.
Are you going to come out again and co-host again? I know you did a good job. You were out here. I love that you come on now because I love at the beginning you didn't want you to go, I can't do this. I go, yes, you can do this. Then you do this. And everybody that's on here keeps writing. And that's what I am actually going to be writing more now. I want to. You know, my screenplays and things, I have to redo a lot of things that I need to do, and I will be doing that. And I will be having shows, a lot of them, but, you know, there is one that I'm having there's a couple that I'm having that are going to be a little different, you know. I'm having, I don't know that you know Bobby Schaefer, but Bobby Schaefer's coming on. And I think that you might know she works with Ree, and she's coming on with her writers group. There's like four women, and I thought that would be interesting because they all help each other. And I've never been in favor of like writing groups, and she loves her group, and they're all going to come on and talk about it. So I thought that would be fun to hear what they all, you know, because they became their friends actually now, and they all live together in the same area. So we'll hear how they get their books out and what they say about each other.
Person says a nasty thing to the other and another person says a nasty thing, then there won't be a writer's group anymore. No, just kidding.
Well, you know what? I've never loved them because, you know, but if they're all four in it and they all write, I mean, sometimes if you go into groups and some people really don't write that much and they start insulting people, it does bother me. That's not me on my writing, but what they say to other people. I really have never loved writers' groups, but she's very happy in it, so I thought it would be a fun show to have, you know, and so that might be a very interesting show. And Fran Lewis will be on doing a few shows. She has Patricia Polacco. So we have a lot of different things, you know, coming on because we want to give you all the new ideas and things that are happening. And I appreciate everybody being on. And I hope, Eric, you enjoyed yourself on the show. And Sheldon, I know that you'll be out there in the morning there. And Jack, everybody's busy. And Kathy, you'll be working like 55 hours and this. So,
right.
You know, you'll be doing books and that. So you're a good example of really working hard to get it out there.
I'm having a good time. That's
the number one thing. That's what Ben and I always say, and that's the truth, is this should be fun. And that's what it is. You know, I don't like to take things too seriously because, as we know, life has enough serious things in it. So I think that, you know, that's why we want to have some fun when we do these shows, because you don't want to be, you know, you need to have some relaxation fun. You know, I think most people don't have enough fun. That's the problem now. You know, I think people are way too serious. You know, I like to carry my days of always being this way. It now comes in handy, but I don't think it did when I was in school. But what can I say? Who you never know what you're going to do in life. That's the thing. I mean, I could say, is there anybody? Maybe Bennett. Okay, all right, and Eric, you did want to write, but I know this was not. I like to write, but I never really thought about it much. You know, when I was in school, even though they told me I should, I didn't. And I don't know. It just wasn't what I thought. And I know Kathy, these are all people. We're people that never really thought we would do this. Yeah. So, right. See, that's what you can never say never. Look where we are. All right. So, everybody have a good week. And thank you all for coming on. And it's been fun. And my phone didn't go out, so I'm really happy. All right. So, take care. And everybody have a good night.
Okay, thanks a lot, Marcia.
Night, darling.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.